think you could split that a little into acute groin injury, a muscular tendinous tear. Obviously, we need to redevelop the strength of that injured muscle group so it can tolerate the load. I think a lot of injuries, the focus on rehab is the frontal plane and hip adduction in particular. They're very powerful hip flexors.
Hello and welcome to the High Performance Podcast for AFL staff and athletes, sponsored by Prepare Like a Pro. Make sure, if you haven't already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I host a live monthly episode Q&A for Australian rules footballers and another one for strength and conditioning coaches. I hope you enjoy this interview. Please share with a friend or a teammate that you think will value this episode. I guess, what are some common misconceptions when it comes to injury mitigation for athletes? How could you sort of dispel them?
Yeah, I think a lot of our profile tends to focus on one thing. So like, you know, exercise prevents injury, or if you load manage that prevents whatever else. And in the reality is, you know, we're priority approaches to a group of athletes who are all very, very different, their training load, their injury history, etc. One of the big myths is that there's a silver bullet from when there isn't, or at least in my experience, there isn't, that every looking to build robust athletes, it's always around their anatomy, specific to their sport and the training and playing load.
In terms of, I guess, practical tips for both athletes and coaches, what do you find is, over the years, have you found is sort of, what are the basics? What are the most, you know, what are your big rocks when it comes to, rehabilitating athletes and making sure they return back to confidence and return back to performance?
I think, again, it comes back to individualizing. So you talk about performance. So from a conditioning point of view, you know, where are my deficits, or what do I need to be able to tolerate to get back up to that level? You, rather than sort of saying, you know, every serious injury is calf weakness, that's a piece of it, but so is your explosiveness, so is your running mechanics. And so having a very broad, all the components that can contribute to that injury.
When you're working with an athlete one-on-one or you're managing a group of athletes, how do you find that balance on knowing when to push and when to pull back, in the moment? So obviously you've got your plan, but yeah, what are some of the key areas that you sort of take into account when you might scale the load or drop back the load or increase the load in session?
I think, you know, starting with a very clear, you know, you have an idea of what their strengths and weaknesses are and then what you want this training block. There naturally is a, you know, over or an intensive training block accumulates over time. So building in those appropriate recovery periods are important. But you need to provide a 4-week block or a 6-week block. But again, depending on their training history, some athletes will be able to tolerate more, or some athletes will be able to tolerate less. Each session on its own merit, and making sure that we're maximizing the quality of that session is very important.
And back to sort of rehabilitation for, I guess, groin injuries, what are some of the most important exercises do you feel when, if someone's got a groin pathology and they're returning back to their field of sport, but they're in a phase where they might be just straight line running in the current phase, what are some areas that you need to sort of develop in the gym to bridge the gap for what they're not getting in on the field yet, and to be able to prepare them for sprinting and agility?
Yeah, I think you could split that a little into two: groin injury, a muscular tendinous tear. Obviously, we need to redevelop the strength of that injured muscle group so it can tolerate the load. I think a lot of injuries, the focus on rehab is the frontal plane and hip adduction in particular. They're very powerful hip flexors, and many of the injuries in terms of Excel are more to do with the sagittal plane than they are alone to do with a free kick. So I think training patterns of movement and getting strong in those muscle groups is important.
For the parents of developing athletes or younger athletes listening in that perhaps don't have the support of a physiotherapist and strength and conditioning coach in their corner, what would be some helpful practical tips that they could apply to their weekly routine to ensure that they're to help the mitigate injury and have a long career.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I saw this morning of two Premier League very, very big money and a picture of them when they were under four Premier League club because they weren't good enough. And there's now that, you know, selection in youth teams usually does not mean all selection in senior teams are at the highest level. So I ensure that you're doing and nearly all development issues that I would see, and obviously I'm biased by being from management trying to do too many things with too many sports.
If you enjoyed this episode and want even more, our academy is for you. The Prepare Like a Pro Academy is a platform that hosts exclusive features and bonus content such as a Q&A segment aimed at getting to know the guests on a more personal level. Here's an example with Emily Meehan, head sports dietitian from Collingwood Football Club.
What are things that fire you up?
Oh, this one is always, I suppose it is, it'll be topical for most people, I think, but staying in your lane. And I often find that with nutrition, everyone eats, so everyone has an opinion. And I think that's what really gets me fired up because so many people try and provide nutrition advice based on their N of one experience when they did intermittent fasting or keto or whatever it might be. And then
game changes.
Game changes, whatever that might be. And look, it probably keeps me in a job, but that it does drive me insane. Because sometimes the information can be so detrimental and opposite to what I've been working with my athlete or athletes, and you know, and because they hear it on someone's socials or through a documentary, it unravels everything that I've been working with an athlete for.
Yeah.
Another feature of our academy is the opportunity each week to join myself as co-host on the Prepare Like a Pro live chat show. Here's an example with Academy member Rama Davies, the strength and conditioning coach at the Box Hill Hawks.
Welcome, Rama, to the chat. Rama has also worked at Box Hill, or currently he's working at Box Hill Hawks with us.
Awesome.
So he's another Box Hill man in the strength and conditioning department. So I'll handle it over to you, Rama, to ask you a question, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Thanks, Jack. And thanks, Sam, for the chat. It was I found it to be really insightful, plenty of gems in there. And I enjoyed it a lot. Mate, my question to you was, you spoke quite a bit about perspective during that chat. And I was wondering, what are some of the things that you either know or do physically that you wish you either knew or did back at the beginning of your career? What are some of those things?
Yeah, good question. So I suppose with perspective on life, that sort of point, it certainly has been massive for me now, and didn't probably have that as much when I was younger. I suppose one thing I might mention is gratitude. I spend a lot of my time doing a lot of gratitude exercises, listening to podcasts, doing a journal every day just a bit to say what I'm grateful for, sort of three things. And that's a fantastic way that I've been able to, reset and just kind of gain that gratitude and perspective about, you know, that there is more to life than football, or, you know, might be whatever, as an S&C coach, you know, if something's, if you're having a hard time, it can be massive with just, opening your eyes a little bit and losing that sort of tunnel vision or being stuck in that work bubble. So that's been huge. I think I wish back then when I was younger, I asked more questions and was a bit more open to different things. Mm. I think I was a bit single-minded back then and, I thought there was one way of doing things. And if I kind of didn't have that fear of, asking a silly question or fear of judgment, it would have got me a lot further and I probably would have learned a lot quicker. And being open to sort of different things, because you never know what you might find. It's just, yeah, there's so many people, like great people out there, knowledgeable people to learn off.
And there's plenty more where that came from. If you would like to learn more, then enter patreon.com/preparelikeapro or head to the link in our show notes. Thank you for listening to the Prepare Like a Pro podcast. If you like this episode, it'd be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, give a review, or even share with your mates. The show is recorded in Melbourne, Australia. Be sure to follow our Instagram page for all updates on our latest and greatest. If you would like to get in touch to suggest a guest or advertise with the Prepare Like a Pro podcast, please email me at jack@preparelikeapro.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.